guys, welcome back to Talk with Torch. So today I have a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Big Miles, coming from the Bronx, New York. Shaking, man. What it is? What's up, Torch? Thanks for having me.
No problem. I really appreciate you being on the platform, you know, because right now, like I said, the movement is just basically supporting African-American artists, entrepreneurs, people that are just trying to like motivate and just be positive towards one another. And it's so hard sometimes to, you know, find genuine people who want to look out for each other. So I really appreciate that. So just in starting, so you just mentioned that you're from the Bronx. Just shout out what part of the Bronx you're from.
I moved around a lot in the Bronx. I can't really say exactly where I'm from. But I'm from the west side of the Bronx. That's where I was born and raised. Okay. Then I moved like to the south Bronx, a little bit to the east side of the Bronx. So all over, besides the north side, I've been in the north side, but I never lived on the north side, but east and west side of the Bronx. I've been back and forth over there.
Okay. So shout out to the Bronx. So I'm just
to Berkeley, baby.
That's right. So just to go in, I just want to know, first and foremost, how old were you when you started music? You know, like, when did you actually say, you know what, this is something that I'm really passionate about and I really want to just go through with this?
Honestly, I tell people this all the time, like, I didn't like music at first. Something about it I just never got into. But until, like, I say when I first heard DMX. So I first heard DMX, I liked it, but I didn't actually start rapping until after I heard 50 Cent. I was like 16 when my boys that I met, one of my best friends actually, he was like, yo, he was rapping actually. And he was like, you should start rapping. And I was like, why? He's like, because you're a 50 fan. I'm like, what the fuck? That don't make no sense. what does that mean?
Right.
He said, nah, you should try it. So I was like, nah, man, that ain't me, that's you. I remember because they used to write rhymes and all that in freshman year of high school, and I wrote this rhyme, but I actually, like, stole it from a rapper that I didn't think anybody else knew about.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote it, but later on, down the line, I found out my mans knew who that rapper was and shit. I thought I was low. But he was still hyping the bars up as it was mine, so shout out to him for that, for rebuilding my confidence.
But that's the thing. Yeah. You had somebody that kind of knew it, but didn't want to call your bluff on it, but still, you know, had your back enough to boost your confidence. And again, you know, like, I have young listeners, and I have listeners, of course, that's adults as well, but I target when I speak to the young audience, because it's so much things right now that's going on, and it's just like a lot of people get discouraged. Especially, you know, if they're passionate about something, they're scared. Especially now in the social media era, it's just like, forget it. Because it's just like any little thing, people troll, people say shit that's just like so fucking mean. And for you to say that your homie held it down and he knew that wasn't your shit.
Yeah, he got it like crazy. He got it went off on me like ASAP. Like, what the fuck, nigga? This ain't true.
Facts.
I probably would never start rapping after that. I was like, oh.
Fact.
And even though knowing that, I know I stole it, but he could have like embarrassed me, and, like, but yeah, but he, I don't know. I know it's crazy. I always think about that shit. I always, like, to this day, I be thinking sometimes there's a platform. I'm like, man, I wonder why he didn't tell me. I never asked him, like, yo, why you didn't tell me that yo, I know this ain't yours.
You see?
Like, I always wonder that shit, but I don't know. You never really asked, like, spoke, got in depth about it, but one day I'll ask him.
Yeah, you should ask him. But that's the thing. That's a loyal friend. That's somebody that could hold you down. And, you know, it's levels to loyalty. And especially going into it again, that is something that's very rare to find nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to stick with those people. Go ahead.
Most of these, these news, a lot of people are not genuine no more. People just clown you now. It's all rip, and most of the time it's the clown you with just to put you on social media. This shit is fucked up.
It is.
I feel a difference. I don't know your age, but for me, going to school, something happens to you in school that whatever, then that's it. You don't have to deal with it again. But now with like with people, something happens, it goes online and people see keep talking about it online. So whatever happened to you, you got choked on or whatever, or you got into this fight and people like shit, like they, all the problems that go to school follows some of these young, this young generation home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it like it fucks with their mind. Even when you at home where it's supposed to be a peace at.
Yeah.
Growing up, you go through something at school, you get home, you relax, you away from the shit, but now it's like it's totally different. Whatever happens to you in the street follows you on social media.
Oh yeah, definitely. But to answer your question, yeah, I'm 30 years old. How old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, so I get it. Definitely. Even like in a previous podcast, I was just talking about like even I remember being in school, even like fights, everything is not the same. Like when I was in school, people were like jumping on cars and shit like that if it was a fight and stuff like that. But now motherfuckers will be like a whole meme. It's different. It's different. Like definitely. What were you saying?
I said with that, you gotta fight for your life. Like your life depended on it.
Yeah. And we're losing a lot of young artists, talented artists too. Because I just seen today that KJ Baller passed away.
Yeah, somebody showed me that. Well, you from New York also?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn.
I'm from Brooklyn, okay. Somebody just showed me that and I was like, yo, actually, you know who that is? I'm like, nah, I don't even know who that is.
He's a young boy, up-and-coming artist. I actually started listening to his music. He had, like, this single, I think, like, a couple years ago that really popped. And, you know, like, him, TJ Porter, Lil TJ, they're all, like, affiliated and stuff like that. And it's just, like, more and more we're losing young, black, talented artists. And it's just, like, what do you have to say on that? Like, especially honestly, to the younger listeners, like, what do you have to say as someone older, someone that's, you know, seasoned, more mature? What is a message that you can really deliver to the listeners out there? Because you're an artist yourself. And
honestly, it's crazy because I just put this post on my Instagram about being yourself and making smarter choices and it, like to avoid negativity. Because when you, I hate to talk about this, this nigga, but like 6ix9ine nigga, this nigga, he told us he was gangster, which a lot of us know he wasn't. And then you go to jail, you get brought up on charges, and then you be like, oh wait, hold up, I didn't sign up for all this, but my nigga, you when you join the gang, whatever you did in that gang, whatever your crime is, you gotta sort of take that on the chin.
That's a fact. Yeah, I don't really want to dwell on too much of him because it's just like, I'm good off that, but I definitely get that. Like, growing up for me, especially, like, me growing up in an area where I was surrounded by, it was me, and it was two other homegirls of mine, and it was only dudes. And it was predominantly Crip. And it was just, like, certain shit going on the block. Niggas is not talking about that shit. I remember being young to the point where I used to have to stay in school, not because I wanted to, because the security guards was holding us back because people was fucking walking out, cutting people's faces.
That's a fact.
These young kids don't know shit about that these days. I'm talking about being fucking elementary school, can't get out the building because Bloods and Crips is fighting, and if you come outside, niggas is slashing you in your face. They don't care how old you was, they don't care. You can't even come outside with the wrong colors.
Halloween, when people's slashing people, you can't even, like, you gotta worry about how stuff happening on Halloween and shit. I hope you don't get cut, you don't get beat up. Cause me, like, my middle school, when I went to middle school, every time I left middle school, I had to worry about getting jumped or some shit. I actually got jumped in middle school when I was in seventh grade. And then after that shit, like, actually kind of woke me up and made me, like, watch my surroundings more. Before I was more, like, you know, I didn't really pay much attention to shit.
And that's
but
the
now,
thing.
And the shit with these kids, man, these kids see stuff on social media, but most of them is not even living all this shit. They just seeing stuff on social media and they want to copy.
And not to cross you, but it goes hand in hand too, because they're seeing the shit that they see on these fucking reality shows and these fucking music videos, and they try to mimic. Now, growing up, niggas who really had work, niggas who was really in the streets, they were really doing that. That wasn't for fucking Instagram followers and likes and shit like that. Niggas, that's how they maneuver. That's how they was making a living. It wasn't to just be cool. It was to feed their families. But these people, these young kids, they imitate it and they think it's so cool. And again, like you said with that stupid motherfucker, they do shit for clout. And when it comes with the consequences, instead of you standing 10 toes down, you want to be on some bitch shit. You got to pick a struggle. And that's how I feel, and that's what I got to say on that. But you could go ahead.
Yeah, like, that's what I got to honestly say to the younger generation. Like, yo, you got to, it's okay to be yourself. You don't got to follow every trend you see on social media. I know it looks cool and all that, but most of these niggas that's living his life, like that clown nigga, he's not happy with all that money and all that jewelry sitting in the damn house. Who's going to be happy with that? You can have, I don't care, you got to sign a $10 million deal. You can sign a $100 million deal, my nigga. I'd rather have my life, but I could go outside and rather move my shoulder. You gotta look over your shoulders. Niggas dropped his address 3 times. You gotta move. That's not a way to live.
It's no way to live at all. Yep.
That's what I gotta say to the young generation. Honestly, it's okay to be yourself, man. This like following the trends on. I understand everybody wanna go viral now and this and that. Yeah, it's cool, but go viral doing. You don't have to do anything stupid to try to hurt yourself to go viral.
And that's like, the thing. Again, like with me, like I never really did social media. Like, okay, we're in the same age group. So like when I was in high school, social media was at the very beginning stages. That's when it was like Skonex, MySpace, shit like that. Niggas don't even exactly. Niggas don't even you mentioned that now. It's just like, what? That's ancient fucking history. But even back then, it wasn't even as big of a deal as it is now. And I just remember kids like just, you know, like, okay, like if we had a party or whatever, I don't know about in the Bronx because I'm from Brooklyn. I don't know if it's different, but back then, like, you know, teams was like a thing. So like we had like the Pretty Mafias and we had shit like that and Flex in Brooklyn and the showcases and shit like that. Like, that was a thing. That was how all the young people got together.
To get light dances and shit.
That's more of an uptown thing. I learned about that when I went to Job Corps. No, niggas was doing that, but they was jacking it from niggas from uptown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, things are just so different now. And, I'm glad that you was able to, you know, send that little message out for the young listeners so they can have an understanding, because it's not, sometimes it's not about schooling or putting people on. It's about just honestly giving good advice for you to take heed to it. And that's the thing. A lot of people, they don't want to listen. They don't want to take heed to certain things because they feel like, you know, you're chastising them. And that's not the case. Do you have children?
Nah, no kids yet.
Okay.
Kids yet.
So, also, I seen on your profile, I seen that, you know, you know a few people that's in the music industry and stuff like that. And,
I do?
Yeah, I seen you. You had a picture with a couple people on there. And who do you know from Hot 97?
That's Hip Hop Mike.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know him personally. Somebody, a friend of mine knows him, and he got him to play my record.
Oh, nice.
So I didn't like actually meet him personally. I never got a chance to chop it up with him. Shit.
Okay. So yeah, I thought that you knew him personally.
I didn't ever get to meet him personally. It was a friend of mine who had to connect to get to him and all that shit. He's like, he told me, yo, I gave Hip Hop my final 7 year. I said, I'm like, nigga, no, you did it. And he was like, yeah, for real, money. And then that's when I heard it playing and stuff. Like, oh, shit.
Is that the same friend that you mentioned earlier with the story?
No.
Okay.
No. It's somebody I met, like, more down the line. Because my friend actually made me push them to do music. Who was doing music first. And I would do music like that, which hurts my heart because I would fucking wish he did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he doesn't. But, you know, life get the best people. Other things go more important. But, yeah, the person, he doesn't even, like, rap like that no more. He does, like, sometimes.
Okay. And also, just to let the listeners know and stuff like that, can you please let them know where they can find your music, what platforms you on, and I want you to basically discuss is Wave On Them your new track?
Yeah. Wave On Them I dropped actually last year, but I'm still pushing it.
Okay.
I dropped more tracks after that, but Wave On Them got the biggest ones. It's over 4,000 plays on Spotify, over 2,000 on Apple Music. It's my highest one. It's the one I got the most looks for. So, you know, I always go to the next single, but then I see other artists that pop, like Lizzo. I heard Lizzo was pushing her song. What's that song that she popped? That she got, like, that
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, whatever the song that I'm, last time I checked, I'm That Bitch, whatever that.
Oh, okay, uh-huh.
Yeah, because I heard she was pushing that song. That shit came out 2 years ago before it popped. So then I'm like, damn, maybe I should keep pushing Wave On Them, because Wave On Them is, like, my biggest... I got the biggest reaction from the biggest feedback shit that everybody loves. So whenever people ask me about a song, yo, what song should I hear? And I point them to Wave On Them, you know, because that's like the best one I had so far. But I put out other music. Like, my most recent joint I put out is Pray.
Yes, I heard that's Pray. That's deep.
The platform, that's, thank you. It's, the video's out on YouTube. You know, just type in. A lot of people spell my name wrong. BIGGMELLZ. Pray, Big Mel's Pray on YouTube. It should pop up with no problem. Yeah, check the video out, man. The video, honestly, is just not for me, but for anybody. Just, you know, whatever faith you believe in, just pray on it and work hard towards your dreams. Don't just pray and think shit gonna happen for you. You gotta pray and work towards that shit.
Oh my God. Can you repeat that, please?
You gotta pray on your dreams and work towards that shit. Because if people think they can just pray on something and go about their business, I think that's how it's supposed to happen. Yep. Like, if God feel like you ain't serious about your shit, why should he be serious about it?
That's a fact. So you gotta work towards it. You can't just, again, like he said, you can't just pray on something and think that it's gonna magically happen. That's not how it works. We reap what we sow.
Yep, it's a fact. So that's, the song is about, you know, me just, the first verse I'm talking about, you know, keep going with the music. And then the second verse I'm talking about is more of, basically, me asking, because you asked me about kids, and I'm talking about me just basically asking God for a better life for the people, for the kids here, and for my future kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because this world we live in is fucking crazy. So that's what my second verse is about, praying for, keep me focused and praying just for a better life, more like, more positive things like that. That's what the song prays for. You know, then the cover, the photo art is actually, my boy was like, yo, you should do the photo art about what's, that we, because a lot of people are praying right now with this COVID-19 shit, the pandemic. And a lot of people's praying that this should be over, so you should put the cover art as that. I'm like, nah, you're right, that shit does sound, it makes sense. So, the cover art is just, it has like Times Square, shot of Times Square, like soldiers with the fucking, the mask on and shit like that. So, praying, hoping that we get through this shit. We all fighting through it at the end of the day.
Facts.
We all fighting. Even, you know, this shit is real. You know, even though somebody like me, I had this shit before, so, and I got over it. That shit ain't no joke. That shit is no joke.
You actually survived COVID? You were...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you were able to fight that. How was that for you? Like, how did you find out?
First, it was like, I wasn't feeling well. I got, like I say, in mid-March.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, body chills, aches, and fever kept coming and going. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with me? And I'm like, nah, I got it. I was not.
Your phone is kind of breaking up a little bit. I don't know why, but can you just repeat that? And it's fine because, you know, this is an over-the-phone interview and my listeners understand. But
okay.
Basically, you said that you started getting symptoms in, like, late March?
Yeah, okay. Like in mid-March. And then, so I had, like, the body aches and the fever, everything they said, like, that comes with it, the symptoms, mm-hmm. that's right. Like, and I was kept saying to myself, like, nah, I don't got that shit. This is not what I got right now. But one day I was feeling real, real bad. And then somebody told me about they was doing a test at this site in the Bronx or whatever. So I went to go check. I called my job. I'm like, yo, I don't know. I got tested. I'm going to see what happens. 2 days later, they was like, oh, you tested positive for it. I'm like, oh, fuck. It just scared me a little because somebody I knew when I was in high school had just died from like a week before.
Oh, wow.
So it was like kind of scary because, you know, first they were saying, oh, young people can't die from it. So I was going off that. But then when the dude the same age as me died from it, I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck? They're like, oh, only old people and babies die from it. They're like, oh, you know, you should be good in between that range. But yeah, but, and they was basically, they were just telling me, it was like, oh, you gotta, you know, drink tea with lemon and ginger. I was just drinking that. You can't drink nothing cold. Everything is room temperature or hot. Eating soup, drinking tea, drinking Gatorade. It was like, drink Gatorade, you know, for the, then with the electrical lights and shit. Mm-hmm. Keep you hydrated. So I kept doing that. The worst part of it, with me was the coughing. Coughing crazy, a whole bunch of, like, coughing a flip. That was, like, the worst part to me. But got over it. At one point, I had, like, no appetite. Couldn't smell, taste anything. I had, like, a mean-ass headache. There's a lot of, like, side, like, after effects from it. After you get over it. I had, like, this mean-ass headache for, like, 2 weeks. That did not wake up and my head is, like, bing, crazy. Like, somebody fucking knocking a bat to my head. Shit was crazy, but I got over it. But first, I was, like, damn, I don't want to tell nobody and this and that. And then that's when one of my boys was like, yo, my nigga, you got over this shit. Like, a lot of people not getting over this shit.
That's a fact.
It's like,
my dad's friend passed away from that as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I'm just so happy to hear that you was able to get through it. So, on another note, because you are a survivor of everything that's been going on with this COVID, because COVID's been around for a very long time and a lot of people did not know that, they weren't privy to that. However, it's a new strain that was attacking people. And for someone that was able to survive that, for the people who was not fucking following the proper precautions and stuff like that, please send a message out there so they can understand how serious it is for social distancing, from wearing a mask on your face, for sanitizing and making sure that you're staying safe.
Yeah, that's a fact. People out there, if y'all not driving your own car, like me, I take public transportation, wear a mask, yo, for your own sake and for the people's sake, because people out here still gotta go to work, they gotta pay their bills. Nobody's giving nobody nothing free. You know, that little stimulus check to $1,200, yeah, that's cool, but anybody living in New York City know that ain't shit.
Exactly.
So the people out there that's thinking this is a joke and not listening, and y'all gotta really, like, get on your shit. Wear your mask, your gloves, with hand sanitizer. Wash your hands, man, and stay the fuck away from people. Like, stay as far as possible. Like, that's the best I can say. This shit is, a lot of people don't survive this shit, man. This shit attacks people different. Everybody don't have the same symptoms. I know people that had it and they didn't get the symptoms. People that had it that died from shit. One of the big things that happened with me was that fucked me up was Fred Godson when he died from it.
Mm-hmm.
When that shit, I'm like, damn, that shit like really like hurt me because when I first heard he had it, I'm like, damn, this nigga got. He always in his music about he got asthma and diabetes. So when he had it, I'm like, I hope he's alright. Then I heard, oh, he's doing better. Next day, boom, gone.
Yeah.
This shit is no joke, man. And the thing about it, one thing I was scared about at first, because there's people that I know that had it, it was good, and then they got it again. So, but thank God, but I'm still, and honestly, I'm still moving like I got it. I'm still drinking my tea, my ginger, you know, vitamins. I was taking vitamins before, but I'm taking them shits like extra vitamins now, just in case.
It was a wake-up call, and thank God that you're okay. This is a living testimony, guys. This shit is real. All of that shit that people want to do, because, you know, like, everybody wants to go outside, and, you know, it's like it's almost summertime officially and stuff like that, and people are tired of being in the house and stuff like that, and I get it, because sometimes I'm like, I just need to get away too, but at the same time, it's about taking the proper precaution. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. And he is a living testimony.
Yeah, nobody say you gotta stay in a house locked away and stuff. They say they move the people. The doctor tell you can take a walk away, you go outside. You gotta stay 6 feet away from those people. Wear your mask and shit if you can't. But if you wanna go outside, you can go outside, take a walk and shit. Get some air. You not supposed, you shouldn't be cooped up in the house. You shouldn't. You, especially if you, like I said, if you got a car or something, go take a drive somewhere. You know, just take a ride somewhere. You could go outside, but you just gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta protect yourself and others around you. You can't just be chilling up with people. I see people like all in a house, like 10 people, no mask on. I'm looking at them, damn, he's taking a swab. Damn. That's the thing you can't do. You can't just, niggas is wild. When I see niggas go outside with no mask on, I'm like, this nigga, you out here with no condom, fuck that. That's how I look at niggas. Now. You dirty, my nigga.
Because
niggas be wild. Like, you don't care about nothing. You fucking bitches, bad con. You don't care about your life at all.
Yeah.
Like, niggas, when I see niggas that doing wild, crazy shit that ain't supposed to do. Like, this shit don't scare. But I was taking it serious before I even got sick. I was like, one of my boys wouldn't come to the crib, and I was like, nah, nigga, nah. He's like, well, why not? I said, nah. He's like, I don't know what I got, I don't know what you got. But we don't need to be next to each other right now. We gotta, you know, just wait to see, you know, how this shit goes. I was taking precautions and shit before I even got sick. But then, like I said, I better now. I'm even more like, stay away. I haven't even been in the studio.
Yeah.
I haven't even been in. I want to go to the studio so bad. I just spoke to my engineer today, actually. And he was telling me, yeah, but no more than 3 people could be in the studio. I honestly feel like that's too much. But, you know, it's whatever. I go in there by myself there if I want to, if I'm going. But I just, I'm about to go back in the studio. I haven't been in the studio since this shit happened.
I respect and really admire everything that you're doing. I really appreciate the fact that you gave me the opportunity to have you on my podcast. I genuinely
appreciate that.
No problem.
Me up anyway.
No problem. No problem.
Was, like a scam artist. I began so much people scams at me and shit. But I appreciate because once you told me, oh, we were supposed to meet, and I told you I had to work, and I was like, nah, she ain't gonna hit me back up.
No.
Back up again. I was like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, because again, like, I'm new to the whole Instagram stuff. So like the stories, when I post, I see people that don't follow me, but they view my stories. So like certain people, I look on their profiles and I see if they got something going on, and you happen to be one of them. So that's why I reached out to you and I said, listen, I have a podcast. I would love to have you on there to support the movement. And I really appreciated that, you know, because even though at first you didn't follow me, you was watching my content, and I was just like, okay, that's dope. And that's just the type of person I am. I genuinely reached out to you with genuine intentions.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I was watching it all, and I'm like, let me see if this girl serious, because I just spoke to somebody like last week trying to have me give her money for some trade-off and shit like that. So
what?
So many people now, like, yeah.
Expose her. Now, let me.
Some African dude told me, like, give him any money for his credit card loans and shit. So
I on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, nah. See? Nah.
Crazy DM, so that's why when niggas be hitting me up, I don't even be, like, paying attention. I'm like, these niggas just, they just want some money. So I'm going to watch you ask for money or some shit.
Nah.
She really hit me up just to put me on a podcast. I don't believe this shit. But I was like, oh, okay. Because the first thing you try to get me, and I was like, I had to go to work and all that.
You yeah.
Like, oh, I understand, you know, this and that. So I was like, yeah, slow for all that. You hit me back and was sharing my shit still. I'm like, oh, that's okay. Maybe she's serious about her shit.
Of course. I'm going to share your stuff, your content and everything like that, because, you know, I want you to support the movement. I want you to understand that there are still genuine people out here. I'm not looking for nothing in return, but just to have my listeners know that it doesn't matter what we go through, that we're able to do whatever we put our minds to do. Look what you just said. Like, you just got over COVID. This shit is, people are dropping like flies. And look, you're still working, and thank God you're still going to be able to go in the studio and create more content. It's a bigger picture besides all of that shit. And I want people to know that's what I'm bringing. Like I said, I'm new to Instagram. I might be on Instagram now for about maybe a month and a half, 2 months tops.
Yeah. Okay, that's why. I was like, why she got that much post on her shit?
Yeah.
I was looking at the same. Oh, that's why. That's why. Let me ask a question. You still remember your MySpace password, login, and all that?
Absolutely not. No.
I go on my MySpace sometimes here and there.
Really? How does it? Does it? Is it cringy looking?
It is. It's disgusting.
Oh my god! I remember my. All I remember from when I had MySpace, I was lit on MySpace. I remember I could copy and paste my little codes in and shit so my backgrounds and shit could be jumping and all this weird shit.
It don't look like that no more.
Ooh. Yeah, I definitely...
Like the last time I went on it probably was like sometime last year.
Wow.
And I probably don't. Like, sometimes I'll be bored and I'm like, let me see what I go on MySpace. But they turned into like some music type shit now. It's all about like... It's like something to go to listen to music on. It's not even like posting and fucking, I guess. It's like, I went to my profile, there's no background. Like, well, that's just shit that used to be in the background. There's none of that no more.
Yeah, you could create and make your own background. You could pick your pictures as your background and all this.
That shit was fire back then.
It was a thing. It was a thing. It was definitely a thing. But that was many moons ago.
Nah, every time, I ain't gonna lie, like, when I think about it, I'm like, damn, I wish I would took music serious when I was on MySpace. Back then, they were saying that most of these rappers that made off MySpace was taking up rappers directly. Like, Nicki Minaj said she had this nigga Lil Wayne directly off MySpace. I'm like, damn, if I was more serious about music back then, I would've did that.
Yeah. So,
it's a different game now, so, more good times, though.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you can you freestyle a little something or spit a little 16 real quick?
Let me see. It's crazy because I was... All right. I said, bigger nigga Mel's. All right, hold on. Let me see. I was drinking.
Listen, it's okay. There's no filter here and there's no judgment. This is not scripted. It's not going to be edited to go around different things. Like, be yourself, and that's it. I'm drinking, too. I'm about to pull me up another glass right now while you try to get it together and spit that 16 for me, because I appreciate you. Do your thing.
I said, big nigga Mel's, you on your shit, what the G say? Heard the track, I did the shit, no delay. The D's pop up. Pass the hammer like a relay, you get caught, hold down. That's the G way, I slip off the ground for a minute. Had to make a few changes, it's all business. I know to see the lifestyle, but the shit different. I go to work, you don't, that's the difference. Ask shorty what she with, she like, yeah. Check came in, it cleared, I'm like, yeah. All my niggas with what I'm with, we like, yeah. Work until we at the top, I'm like, yeah, more or less. Get paper, less stress. When she don't ask for shit, I'm impressed. I'm in the hood like Premium, bathing they sweat. Beating on my chest, no cardiac arrest. My name is my name, like Marlowe. Still get to the money, nigga, in the blindfold. Hustle plus muscle, nigga, please, that's the antidote. When a hood nigga's hungry, nigga, we in savage mode. Your man starts switching sides, he been hating. Can't wait for you to fall off, you elevating. And he the one who said you gonna make it, that's amazing. Niggas hate because your plans fall in place. Hip-hop should be a shame, a disgrace.
Ooh. Okay, Big Mills, I see you out here. Bars.
Thank you, baby.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And yes, people don't be understanding the definition of hard work. If you wanna, you know, perfecting your craft and have something going for you, that shit don't just come out of the sky. You gotta work.
That's fair.
I work 7 days a week. I actually took the day off today because I was exhausted. But I'll be right back to it tomorrow. So trust and believe, man. I feel you on that shit. And thank you so much. Also, in closing, please put all your social media info out there so people can know where they can find you.
Yo, what up, people? Thank you again for listening to me. Thank you, Tori, for having me.
Of course.
You can follow me on everything. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever. Big Mels, BIGGMELLZ. Check out my song, my new shit, Pray, I just dropped. Check out my top single, Wave, on them. I got some other shit called Bounce Back. I got, man, all my shit on the streaming platform. Check out my shit, man. I got something for that. I got hype shit. I got cool shit. I got shit that's gonna sit there, make you think. I'm gonna work on more music for the ladies. That's my goal.
Okay.
I know I gotta just women, y'all the main. Y'all get niggas hot. Y'all get rappers hot. Once a niggas know a girl listens to something, he like, what she listening to? So once you get the stamp of approval of the ladies, you good after that. So I'm going to, even though a lot of girls nowadays like a lot of trap music, which is good for me, they like the hard shit, but I still got to make the song for the ladies. So that's my goal.
I'm looking forward to that. And I hope that, you know, when you drop it and stuff like that, I'm one of the first people to hear. Because I would love, love, love to give you feedback on that.
Yeah, that's a fact. Nah, I definitely got you. Definitely got you. I appreciate you, Torch. Thank you so much.
No problem. So you guys, y'all heard it here from Big Mills. And again, thank you so much for supporting the movement. I really appreciate you. And thank you. I don't know if there's anything or anyone that you would like to shout out, but if you would like to shout anyone out right now, you're free to do so.
Shout out my team, Most Fit, Click, MFC. Shout out the whole home team, anybody supporting me. Shout out my lady. Shout out all the supporters. I appreciate all y'all. Thank you so fucking much. Shout out to the people from overseas that fuck with me. I appreciate all y'all. Thank you. All my niggas that I did music with, all the ones I'm going to do music with. I'm just a nigga from the Bronx. And y'all fuck with me and I fuck with y'all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mills. I really, really appreciate that. And like I said, you guys, this is someone that is a living testimony, someone that came over this crazy pandemic that's happening all over, but it's really affected a lot of people in the New York City areas. And here is somebody that bounced back and didn't let it discourage him, and he's keeping forth to push forth and to keep going. And I respect and I admire that. So in closing, all I'm gonna say is, no matter what, sky's the limit. This was Talk with Torch. Later, y'all.